Our focus scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 5 through 10, and this is where Jesus teaches about persistent prayer. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." God's word for God's people.
Well, it's that time of year again. A few weeks ago, I started another diet. I've always been overweight, work out and everything else. At least I'm healthy in doing so. But I decided, I'm getting older, I need to lose some weight. So far, so good. But this last Wednesday, I did hospital calls, and coming back to the church from the hospital calls, I passed a bakery, and I looked, and there's a sign about fresh baked banana bread and all these goodies in the window. And I said, okay, no, I'm on a diet. But I got back to the church and walked in, and I was carrying a half-eaten loaf of banana bread. And the staff kind of knew what was going on, and they told him, you know, they scolded me a little bit. And I told him, no, wait a minute. God wanted me to have this. And Neil, of course, said, "What do you mean God wanted you to have it?" I said, "Here's how it worked. It's a very special loaf of banana bread. You see, I did my hospital calls, and going by the bakery, I saw that sign about fresh baked banana bread. So I said a prayer. I said, 'God, if you intend for me to have one of those delicious loaves of banana bread, there'll be an empty parking space right in front of the bakery.' And sure enough, on my 8th time around the block, there was an empty space right there in front of the bakery. Kind of shows my persistence and where it goes, doesn't it? What about you? What's your persistence on things? You know, if you really are working on a project, you just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it because you want to get it done right. But then again, am I as persistent in my prayer life as I was to look for that parking spot? Are you that persistent in your prayer life as you are when you're working on a project, but you're not going to give up on it? Or do you only pray once or twice? And if you don't get what you want, if you don't get a satisfactory answer from God, you then give up. In our lesson today from Luke, which comes right after Jesus teaches about his model for prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shares that in our praying, we need to be persistent. I invite you to turn in a Bible to Luke chapter 11. We'll begin here in verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him."' Travelers in Jesus' day often traveled and journeyed late into the night, and they did it to avoid the heat of the midday sun. Well, this last summer, this coming week, would you prefer to be out walking mile after mile at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 10 o'clock at night? Of course we choose at night because it's cooler. Well, here in Jesus' parable, such a traveler, had arrived towards midnight at a friend's house. The late arrival of the traveler left the householder with an embarrassing situation because the householder had no food to offer him. And in this region, hospitality is a sacred duty. So what is he to do? There's no bread, no food for his guest. So he goes to his neighbor. He went to the neighbor and knocks, and verse 7 tells us. Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." The friend is in bed. And to get up would mean waking up the entire family, for they'd all be sleeping together on the floor. You may be thinking the word bed, you're thinking of this bed that's set up. They're sleeping together on the floor, surrounding the charcoal stove to stay warm. The man knocking is told to go away. But does he? Nope. He is persistent, knocking on and on and on. Now remember, this is a parable of Jesus. And a parable is a story that teaches only one lesson. And the lesson we have here is in verse 8. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is telling the people, well, let's face it, he's telling us, that we are to approach God as boldly as this man approached his neighbor. This parable teaches that we are to be persistent in our prayers. Now, the point of this parable is not about what God is like. God is not the one asleep. God is not reluctant to answer your prayers. God is not like the man in the house who's reluctant to get up. Persistence in your prayers, it indicates the depth of your need for which you are praying. The man kept knocking because he needed the bread. Not just wanted, but needed. It's a sacred duty, the hospitality. What about in your prayers? For persistence helps you realize if you're praying for a real need or if it's just a want at that moment. For let's face it, we often pray once or a few times and then move on to something else. Persistence in our prayers indicates that you believe, that you realize what you really need. And God always provides what we need. The Associated Press once carried an interesting story about a group of post office customers who succeeded in speeding up some slow-moving service. One man said the service was like watching grass grow. You see, what happened was there were 26 patrons jammed into two lines in a particular post office. They realized they were not getting any attention from the workers. So, a 73-year-old man organized those 26 people. In an uncommon show of unity, the 26 shouted together, "We want service!" 2 minutes later, another clerk ambled out and without cracking a smile said, "Next." Well, the 26 knew they were onto something. So they started chanting again, "We want service. We want service." They just didn't say it once or twice. They just kept chanting it the first time and now once again. And you guessed it. One more clerk appeared. An amused customer summed up the situation like this. "I got through the line in 4 minutes. I've never seen anything like it." You know, in some ways, this story is a modern-day version of our parable. Many would stop saying the chant once, twice, maybe three times. But think about it. They did this for 2 minutes. So, we want service. We want service. We want service. It takes about 5 seconds to say it three times. So if they keep going at it, that means they've said it 36 times in that minute, that phrase. And over 2 minutes, 72 times. That is persistence. Are you that persistent in your daily prayers? Are you that persistent in what you are praying to God about? For they were sincere in their need, and it was met. That's why we need to be persistent in our prayers. But there are other reasons as well. Another reason why we need to be persistent in praying is because it may not be the right time for God to answer your prayer. Let's take those same 26 people, all right? And they're waiting at a post office at 6 in the morning. And if the post office doesn't open until 9 a.m., what good are the persistent prayers going to do if they're not open? You get a totally different outcome. Yes, you need to be persistent in praying, but you need to be persistent and waiting for the right time to come. The right time for God to answer your prayer. Maybe it's too soon for everything else that's going on. Or another reason may be you need to do something else first, which you have not prayed about. That you have this prayer out there, but wait a minute, you have something else to do. When I was doing youth ministry over in Fort Dodge at First United Methodist Church as the associate pastor, back from 1987 to 1993, we would end with a closing prayer. We'd have a circle prayer. And pretty much every single week, one of the students would pray, "Dear God, help me do good on the test." Now, you can persistently pray that all you want. But what if you didn't ahead of the time study and use the brain God gave you? So you need to do something else first. You need to study first and pray for God to help you understand what you're studying. So then you will do good on the test. Your prayer will get answered, but you needed to do something else first. Maybe the prayer you're lifting up to God, and even persistently, there's something else you should be doing. Yes, we are to be persistent in our prayers. And I know if you listen to Neil read the scripture, you have your Bible open there and look at verses 9 and 10. I've been told these many times. We sit there and say, but Jesus does say, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." That's true. Think back to Gene singing our opening hymn. He says those same thing, but keep in mind, that's the second verse. What's the first verse? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these will come to you." Yes, your prayer is always answered. Always. As God sees best for you. So ask, and it will be given to you. As God sees best for you. Seek, and you will find. As God sees best for you. Knock, and the door will be open. Well, say it with me. As God sees best for you. Yes. Persistence in our prayers help us focus on if this is a real need or just a passing want. For the passing want, we end up praying for a day or two or maybe even a week, but it soon goes away. The persistence, it helps us see what God sees best for each and every one of us. And there's one other way I've thought of. That persistent prayer, your persistent prayer, may not even be answered. Because it's not as God sees best. Sometimes others must have their prayers take priority over yours. Val became one of my wife's best friends. And we were over at their family's house many, many times. Val was also what we call a brittle diabetic, very severe diabetic. Val died 27 years ago last Monday, on July 25th, 1995. She died at the age of 37, leaving behind a husband and a 10-year-old daughter. Val endured years and years of treatments, and she maintained a wonderful grave faith. Her husband, Rob, said that she definitely did not want to lay in a hospital bed unconscious, with no quality of life and on life support. Rob, Danielle, members of the church, so many people were persistently praying for healing for Val, for physical healing. And Val, she prayed persistently for release and healing through death on the other side of the cross. Whose persistent prayers did God answer? God answers Val's. So does that mean God didn't care about the others? Of course not. But God seeked to do what was best. When you do ask and expecting to be given to, when you do seek expecting to find, when you're knocking and knocking and knocking and expecting the door to be opened, remind yourself, is this what God sees best? For God answers prayers if you are persistent, when it's God's will being done. So how do you pray to God? Persistently or infrequently? How will you be more persistent in your prayers today? Now, if we use that word persistent, maybe we should ask it this way. How will you be more persistent in your prayers this week? Let's even go farther. How are you going to be more persistent in that prayer that you keep or those prayers you have this month? Let's even be persistent. How are you going to be more persistent in your prayers this year? Let us bow our heads for a time of guided prayers. Giving God, you will always answer our prayers in the best way for us as you see best when we pray persistently. Now, of course, the answer may be yes, the answer may be no, and the answer may be wait. Yet, Lord, we get impatient, and then we end up doing what we want instead of waiting for your guidance. So I invite you to pray a silent prayer for guidance with something going on in your life today, and pray for God's will to be done. Lord, when we think of persistent prayer, we often think of ourselves, but we also know we are to also persistently pray for others. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer for someone else who is dealing with something physical or emotional, maybe dealing with mental health or spiritual care issues, and pray that God's will be done for them. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for all who are mourning the death of a loved one. For it impacts our lives so much, and we've probably maybe even been praying that this can't be true, or what's going on, or God, heal them. They may be like Val and healed on the other side of the cross. Lord, we pray for all that's going on in our country, whether it be the mass shootings or the flooding and the weather-related things, that we know you are there, helping and caring. But we also pray for your world, that your will be done in all the situations, whether it be the war in the Ukraine or the senseless evil that goes on in other places. But Lord, we also pray for personal healing, healing for chronic conditions, for upcoming procedures. For so often we pray, but then when we don't see an answer we want, we give up. Yes, Lord. Help us to be persistent in our prayers for our needs and the needs of others. But also, help us to persistently pray prayers of thanks. Thanks because you always do give us what we need. We are blessed in so many ways by you, and you have given each and every one of us answers to our persistent prayers. But we often just go on to the next thing. So I invite you to say thank you. Pray a prayer of thanks for at least one blessing God has given you. Jesus teaches us how to pray. In other words, how to speak to God and how to listen to God. He does it through the Lord's Prayer, that model. He does it through telling us to be persistent. And if Jesus says it, then we should do it. Even if it applies to persistently praying for Him to be a part of our life. So I invite you to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, or maybe once again, through a silent prayer. Lord, we have just prayed a few prayers. Will this be the only time we pray those? Or will we be persistent, searching for your will in each and every one of them, searching for things as God sees best for you? For in these models of prayer, there are ways for God, for us to be open to God. So I invite you to be open to God as you join me in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.